We're doing Mishlei. We're up to what they call the 8th chapter, the 20th Pasuk. And the Torah is the one doing the talking in this chapter. And the Torah says about itself, Be'orach tzedaka ahalech, b'toch netivot mishpat. I walk the path of righteousness. I walk the path of justice. And the simple understanding here is that the Torah leads us in the path of righteousness and justice. One of the great challenges throughout history is recognizing who is righteous and who is just. Every nation likes to paint its own history as a history of justice. We're fighting for justice. We're fighting for what's right. You read about the Tea Party in American history books. You read about how great they were. You read about it in the British history books. You get a slightly different picture. You read about the American Revolution in American history books, you get one picture. You read about it in British history books, you get a different picture. Everyone tries to portray themselves as fighting for justice. Even the PLO claims they're fighting for justice. Palestinian liberation, they're fighting for liberation. From whom? From what? From when? That doesn't matter. Everyone claims they're fighting for justice. Hashem says that He protects those that are oppressed. And the question is always, who is the oppressor and who's being oppressed? Are we oppressing the poor Palestinians? Are they oppressing us? We send in our soldiers, they shoot out the missiles. Who's the oppressed? Who's the oppressor? It's not so simple in life. Obviously, we're on this side, so we see it our way. How do you call the shots? Comes along the Torah and tells us, Be'orach tzedakah ahalech. I will take you down the path of righteousness. I will show you very clearly who's in the right and who isn't. Without the Torah, it's very hard to know. One of the first rules I always say when it comes to helping couples is assume you know nothing. If a husband comes in and tells you a whole story, well, he told you his version of the story. You'll hear it from the wife, you'll hear a completely different version. Wife once called me up. And she says, it's terrible, I can't stand it anymore. He lost control, he got so angry at the kids. And she's painting this whole picture. Okay, try to calm her down. You talk to the husband, you get a completely different picture. The kid took crayons, started writing on the wall and all the furniture. The father said, you can't do that, and wanted to take away the crayon. The mother went berserk and told the father, you can't do that. Who do you think you are taking the kid's crayon and threatening she's going to call the police? Well, a few details she just left out of the story. He didn't do anything yet. He just said she shouldn't color on the furniture and the walls. The mother went berserk, but that part of the story she didn't tell. She said she's going to call the police because the father wants to take away the crayon from the girl. Who's in the right? You hear one part of the story, you hear it one way. You hear the other part, it sounds the other way. Go figure out the truth. And in our own lives, sometimes it's not any simpler. We try to figure out who's right, who's wrong. What's right, what's wrong? Should I vote left? Should I vote right? Should I be liberal? Should I be conservative? Should I be Republican? Should I be Democrat? Should I be Likud? Should I be a Beit HaYehudi? Where should I put my vote? Where should I put my strengths? Where should I put my efforts? Where should I put my money? The Torah says you want to know what's right. Well, what's right is a constant. The people change. The songs are really with the same theme. And in order to be able to see through the smoke screen, you need a constant. And God gave you a constant. The greatness of the Torah is that it doesn't change with the fads. The Torah repeatedly gives us the formula, what is right, what is fair, what is correct, and it hasn't changed in quite a few millennium. Ever since the Torah was given, one Torah, one constant, only God can do that. You look at the world outside the Torah, well, every century has its norms and its fads. 200 years ago, sophisticated people had slaves. 100 years ago, sophisticated people knew that women shouldn't be allowed to vote. They're just too stupid. They can't have land. They can't be trusted to own land. The Torah says women can own land. The Torah gives women tremendous amounts of rights. The Torah gives husbands responsibilities towards the wife. It's been that way for a few millennium. Not like the rest of the world. The rest of the world only came to 100 years ago and less. The Torah says, "Ba'orach tzedakah ahalech." I walk the path of righteousness, and no one else does. And you're going to look around, and it's going to be confusing. Everyone says they're righteous. The Torah says right, but I'm telling you, I walk the path of righteousness and justice. And the fact that every generation has its fads, which can put the Torah in question. You look at the Torah and you say, but today everyone seems to say that this is kindness and this is the norm. So just look at history and you'll see that every generation differed from the Torah on certain points. That's because the world is searching. So when the world is searching, so then slavery is okay, and treating women unfairly is okay, and child labor is okay, and a million things are okay. But the Torah is a constant, and therefore the Torah can speak up and say, I walk the path of righteousness, I walk the paths of justice. Lehanchil ohavai yesh. I give those who inherit me, I give them. Now here, there are two ways you could read the verse. One way is, l'anchil o'avai, to give an inheritance to those that love me, yesh, I have that capacity. But the truth is that one of the most important and worthwhile words in the Hebrew language is the word yesh. The word yesh is like the word chayim. The word yesh literally means existence. Yesh. It is. And that's why the father of David HaMelech is called Yishai. Because the Davidic dynasty that's going to come from him is all about Yesh. It's all about existence, continuum. That's the strength of David. That's why he's the one that can establish Jerusalem. Because David is all about continuum. The capacity to hit the future. The Netzach of Yerushalayim. And so the Torah says, Lehanchilo avai, I give, the heritage I give those that love me is yesh. I give them real existence. Ve'otzrotehim amalei, and I fill their storage houses with all that's good. Adonai, kanani reshit dalko, kedem mifalav, meyaz. Hashem created me. The word kana is not only to acquire, but also to create. That's why we describe Hashem as kone shamayim va'aretz. It doesn't mean he purchased them, it means he created them. Because the word kinyan could mean something acquired or could mean anything that came into existence. And so that's why kone could mean to bring into existence. It could also mean to acquire. So Hashem kanani, Hashem created me reshit dalko. In the beginning of Hashem's path, the Torah preceded the world. We're told that Hashem created the Torah as the blueprint for the world. So the Torah says, yeah, I was created in the beginning of God's path, in the beginning of Hashem's creating the world. Kedem mifalav, before all the other things Hashem did, meyaz, from way back then, from before creation. Meyolam nisachti meirosh mikadmei aretz. Me'olam nisachti. I was forever the prince. I was forever the ruler, like Nasich. Me'rosh mikad me'aretz. From back, from the beginning of history of the land. I've always been kingly, I've always been royalty, the Torah says. Our sages say that there are seven things that preceded creation, the Medrash says. And one of them is the Torah. Bein tehomot cholalti. Before the depths were created, I was created. Bein mayanot nichmadei mayim. Before the streams that are filled with water, I was created. Beterem harim hotbahu lifnei gevaot cholalti. Before the mountains were imprinted, because the Medrash says that Hashem pushed part of the earth down, and other parts of the earth rose. So that's why the mountains are described as though they're an imprint, because God, so to speak, imprinted part of the earth and made the other part rise. Lifnei givaot, before the hilltops were formed, cholalti, I was created. Ad lo asa eretz v'chutzot V'rosh afrot tevel. Before Hashem made the earth and everything outside the earth. So here you see the description of Eretz Yisrael and Chutzal Aretz. Eretz is the land of Israel. V'chutzot and everything outside it. I always tell people, notice the way Hashem describes the planet. You have land, and then you have everything outside the land. So you think land is Australia, Canada, Russia, one of these big, either a continent or a big land mass. No. Eretz is this little slither smaller than the state of New Jersey. It's called Israel. Eretz, v'chutzot, and everything outside that, it all goes under one category. Chutzal Eretz, yeah. It will be. But originally, the Torah is saying, even before Eretz, even before Israel was created, v'chutzot, and the rest of the planet, everything else, v'rosh afrot tevel, and even before Hashem created the earth, all over the planet, even before that, v'hachino shamayim shamani, when God prepared the heaven, so to speak, when He gave foundation to the heaven, so I was already there. Bechuko chug al penei tehom. Bechuko chug, when Hashem engraved the chug, that's like the chug is like machog, the circular shape of earth on the face of the abyss. That's maybe the translation of Bechuko Chug al Penei Tehom. Another understanding here is that we have a tradition that all of earth was covered with water. Initially, Hashem created, and in the beginning of creation, all of earth was covered with water. And then Hashem said, let there be land, and let the water gather in one place. So what did Hashem do? Hashem made all the land rise out of the water. Hashem put down some of the land, made other parts of the land rise. And then you had land masses and water. What happened next? The water started gushing over the land. The water started making its way back over the land to envelop it. And here there are different midrashim. Some midrashim say Hashem yelled at the water, and then the water trembled and stayed down. Other midrashim say Hashem sprinkled sand all over to keep the water in its place. Other midrashim say that Hashem stomped with His foot down on the water and say, "Stay put, you." And so throughout Tanakh, we have this repeated description of the waters and the waves as representing a certain desire to leap forward. Some midrashim say they're trying to leap to reconquer the land. They say, hey, we were on top, and that's why the waves are called mishbarecha. They're breaking forward out of the water. They keep trying to break out again. And the only thing that keeps them from covering all of planet Earth again is mikol garatcha, Hashem's yelling, Hashem's stomping on them. The sand Hashem placed and told them, you guys don't cross that sand. That's one understanding. And another understanding says that the waters down below were separated from the waters up above. Whatever that means. And so the waters down below keep striving to go up when they break forth in waves. They're, so to speak, they're upset. Why are we stuck down here when you split us in two and the other half of us is up there? So at any rate, Bechuko Chug, according to some commentaries, means when Hashem made that law, so to speak, that the land that would encompass the water, instead of the water overcoming the land, al penei tohom, over the face of the abyss. However you interpret it, the word chug means to encompass. That's why the word chag. What does chag mean? Chag also means to be in a circle, because people use to dance on the holiday. So chag is also to be in a circle rejoicing. That's one of the things that people forget today. That part of rejoicing is being in a circle with other people. In a wedding, there's a reason why we dance in a circle. A circle represents true happiness, the unity of a people. Everyone's in a circle. There's something magical about it. Everyone holds hands and we form a circle. When someone goes and he does his own thing, so He's doing his own thing. It's about him. But that's not Chag. Chag, true rejoicing is everyone. It's a circle. Pasuk Chafchet. Be'amitzo shechakim mimal ba'azuz inot tehom. Be'amitzo, when Hashem strengthened, shechakim mimal, when Hashem strengthened the heavens up above, ba'azuz inot tehom. When Hashem gave oz, when Hashem gave might to inot, to the ma'ayanot, to the streams tehom that are down below. The Torah is saying, back when Hashem started all these things that are the givens of nature, it's a given that you have the sky up above, it's a given that the sea remains in the sea, it's a given that you have underground streams. Well, when Hashem made all those things that you take for granted, I was around before that too. Besumol layam chuko, umayim lo yavru fiv bechuko, mosedei aretz. When Hashem made His decree on the sea, that the sea would split. And here we have a Rashi that goes hand in hand with the Rambam in Pirkei Avos. Rashi learns that when Hashem created the sea, Hashem built into nature that in that year 2448, the nature of the sea, for whatever reason, would be to split. It was part of nature. And that's the Rambam we discussed a day or two ago, that the greatness of miracles is the timing. That every miracle was really built into nature from way back when. Had the people not been standing at the Yam Suf at that time, the Yam Suf would have split. That's the way Hashem created the world. At that moment it was supposed to split. So what was the great miracle? The miracle was that when we were there, it split. When they were there, it crashed. But if you'll ask me, how did it happen? It happened in some way through nature. And Rashi over here also says, "Besumol hayam chuko," back in the beginning of creation, when Hashem created the sea and built in this law, this rule, that at that time it would split, I was there, says the Torah. Yeah. Yafet. So here, that's how Rashi learns that that's what this pasuk is saying. Bechukom mosadei aretz, when Hashem engraved the foundations of land, vayetz lo amon, I was, so to speak, brought up by God. I was by Him, and He was bringing me up, so to speak, vayeshashuim yom yom. And I was by Him like a kid that one finds the kid to be entertaining. Day by day, I was waiting for the time that I would be given to the Jewish people. Misacheket lefanav decholet. And I was beloved before Him. I was, so to speak, like a child that's entertaining before Him consistently. Hashem loves me, says the Torah. I was there for a period. What was the period? Yom yom. What is Yom? Yom is 1,000 years by God. So that's where we have the tradition that there were 2,000 years, Yom Yom, 2,000 years of Tohu. When God created the world, there were 2,000 years of desolation, no Torah in the world, until the year 2000. In the year 2000, when Avram was 52 years old, he discovered his Creator. And so in the year 2000, when Avram was 52 years old, and he discovered his Creator and started discovering the concepts of the Torah, and then started teaching them to other people, that's when we begin the next period of the world, the 2,000 years of Torah. From Avram, for the next 2,000 years, till the year 4,000, we have a period of the development of the Torah, beginning with Avram, who discovers it within nature, evolving to the giving of the Torah in Sinai, evolving through the period of the temple, the first temple, the period in which the Torah was developed, ultimately by the rabbis of the great assembly in the beginning of the second temple. And then towards the end of the period of the second temple, you end those 4,000 years and you start the next 2,000 years. You start 2,000 years of Mashiach, of anticipation for the greater future, where we can only work off of what they taught us. We can no longer access the secrets of the Torah the way they could beforehand. Until the year 4,000, the rabbis had such a great tradition that when a new question would arise, they could look in the Torah and see the answer. You'd ask them, when does Ilan Ramon make Kiddush on the moon? They'd say, wait, we'll go look at the Torah, we'll tell you. So even though they didn't have a tradition what the answer was, they could look in the Torah and find the answer. In the year 4,000, that all changed. Our tradition started eroding, and we could no longer derive answers for questions from the Torah. So the Torah says, I was by God. I was there day. I was there for 2,000 years. After 2,000 years, we start the period of Torah. For the next 2,000 years, we have the development of Torah. And then the final 2,000 years of the world, well, that's the period we're in now, where we have to glean from the wisdom of our predecessors. We can no longer open a Sefer Torah and just figure out what does God want from us. We have to work with our tradition, with the oral tradition, with the written tradition, but we can't start from scratch. We can't do what they did, use the laws of derivation and derive new answers for new questions. We have to work off of the wisdom of the Talmud, the wisdom, whatever we have in our tradition. But we cannot develop new concepts. Misachekit b'tevel haltzoho v'shashuayet b'nei adam. The Torah says, I am the one who makes people happy throughout the land. Misachekit b'tevel haltzoho. Now, I am the source of people's happiness. You want to know how you find happiness? Come to me, says the Torah. Misachekit, I give joy. B'tevel artzo, throughout God's land. V'shashuayet b'nei adam. And just as people are happy with me, says the Torah, I am happy with humanity. I look forward to people learning me. And this is a concept we find in the Tanakh, and this is a concept we find in the Shas, and this is a concept we find in the Midrash. There are certain things that are personified throughout the Tanakh and the Midrashim. Zion is personified. Lamentations is about Zion. We're also mentioned by default, but Zion is the focus. Uva leTzion goel. First we talk about Tzion. V'lirushalayim ircha berachamim tashuv. We ask Hashem, come back to your city. What about us? Ah, and us too. We're always second. And the Torah is the same thing. Chazal say that when people take the Torah into bars and they start singing songs, they make the Torah into songs, they start using the Torah improperly, suddenly they use it as love songs. So then the Torah wraps itself in sackcloth and comes before Hashem and says, what did your children do with me? When the Jewish people were going to be exiled, the Torah came before Hashem and said, well, how can you do this to my kids? And God said, well, they didn't observe. Let's review what you told them to do. They didn't observe. So we have in Midrashim throughout this concept that the Torah is personified. Suddenly the Torah has a life of its own. Torah, Torah, chigri sak. Right? So here the Torah says, just as they're happy learning me, and I am the source of happiness on earth, so too I'm happy when they learn me. And so the Torah turns to us and says, Pasuk Lamed Bet, Ve'ata vanim shimulihi. Now children, listen to me. I just explained to you that I am the most ancient wisdom. I was around before anything else was around. So now listen here. Ve'ashrei derachai yishmohu. And praised is the one who watches my paths. So, the wisdom, the Torah says, Ata, now, Shim'u, listen to what I'm teaching you. And what am I going to teach you? Shim'u, Musar, Vachachamu, Ve'al Tifra'u. You have to listen to the teachings that I teach you, to be God-fearing people. And that's what Musar is. And the first step of learning is to be a God-fearing person. If a person tries to enter Torah, but he's not a God-fearing person, then it doesn't work. then everything the Torah says can be convoluted. You could take everything in the Torah and shape it to one's own whims. The first step is Shimu Musar. First one has to be a God-fearing person. And then Vachachamu. Then you could learn the wisdom of the Torah. Ve'al Tifrau. And then I know that the wisdom will not be undone by you. Very often people approach Torah and they destroy it. Well, I think that the Torah meant to say, wait a second, what do you know about Torah? Why are you arguing with me? In order for a person to be able to learn Torah, there has to be a humility, there has to be a level of God-fearingness to realize, this isn't about what I think, this is about what God's telling me. Shimu Musar, so Shlomo HaMelech says, step one, listen to the way of being a God-fearing person. And only then, too, Vachachamu, do I want you to get smart. And then I'm insured, Ve'al Tifrau, that you won't destroy all the wisdom. Ashrei Adam Shomeyali. The wisdom says, praised is a person who listens to me. Lishkod al daltotai yom yom. And he is swift to come to my doors. He comes and he learns continuously. Lishkod. He watches over daltotai, my doors. He comes early. He stays late. He's focused on accomplishing and learning. Lishmo mezuzot pitachai, and he ensures that he's always there through my doorpost, so to speak. He's always in my house, always learning. Ki motzeim matzachayim, because those who found me have found life. We have a lot of things that we call life, but life in Tanakh is the capacity to affect, is the capacity to affect long term, and that's why Chazal said, a person who has no children, it's as though he's dead. A person who's blind, it's as though he's dead. A person who has no money, it's as though he's dead. Because life means I've affected the world. If a person wakes up in the morning and takes a swig of his beer, takes a shot of his vodka, rolls over and spends the next half hour, hour in bed, he's dead. Ah, he has a pulse, but that's not life. He might take another swig an hour later of the beer and say, this is living. No, this is dying. Living is getting out of bed and going out there and making a difference in people's lives, making this world different. Hashem created a world where He gave us a responsibility to affect the world. And so the Tanakh refers to life as the capacity to affect, to make change, to make positive change, to make lasting positive change. And the Torah says you want to know how to make lasting positive change. Ki motzi matzachayim. It's only if you found me. Because Rabbi Akiva, when he started learning Torah, said he was a very dedicated fellow. He walks in the desert and he happens upon a dead body and he says, oh, we have to bury it. So he grabs the dead body in the heat of the desert, puts it over his shoulder, and starts walking. And he's traveling and he's sweating terribly and he wasn't planning on going in that direction, but he's going to the closest town to bury that body. It's not pleasant to carry a dead body. It's even more unpleasant to carry it through the desert. And when he comes into the city, he buries that body, and that body was a meis mitzvah. If there's a body, no one's around, no one's going to take care of it, that's a huge mitzvah. He comes to his rebbeim and he says, look at what a mitzvah I got today. So what does Rebbeim say? Why didn't you bury him in the desert? So he said, I figured you bring him to the city to bury him. So the sages say, no. If there's no one around and there's no one within earshot, so that's a meis mitzvah. And Halacha says, he acquires his spot, bury him on the spot. And it's a pain for the soul to be dragged around. It's not nice for the body. So here Rabbi Akiva invested all his strength. And he finds out that he was working very hard and for nothing. He hurt the body. He hurt the soul. He should have buried him on the spot. A person can mean to do well. We can all have good intentions. But the Torah says to us, you want to find life? You want to do what's right? Ki motzei matzachayim. It's only if you found me. If you spend your life wanting to do what's right, but that's not enough. Rabbi Kiva also wanted to do what's right. Ki motzei matzachayim. It's only those that have found me that have found life, says the Torah. Vayafek ratzon me'ashem. And so those who found me also, they can bring out the goodwill from Hashem because they're leading the lives Hashem wants them to. V'choti'i chomes nafsho. But he who sins against me, well, he's really hurting himself. Kol misanai ahavu mavet. And those that hate me, well, they really like death. They're really hurting themselves. And this is a pivotal point that we see time and again in the Torah. That the Torah tells us, treat mitzvos with respect. So you'd say, treat mitzvos with respect, so you don't disgrace the mitzvah. No, that's not what it says in the Gemara. It says, treat mitzvos with respect, so the mitzvos won't be disgraced by you. What does that mean? That means the mitzvah is a pearl, the mitzvah is a gem. You're not going to affect it by anything you do. You're going to affect yourself by how you treat it. It says, when you do kisei adam, you slaughter a wild animal or a bird, you cover it with dirt. So it says, cover it with your hand, don't cover it with your foot. You'd say, the dirt is down on the floor, the blood is on the floor, let me just kick some dirt over the blood. Halacha says, no, you have a mitzvah to cover that blood, do it with respect. Bend down, take a shovel, pick up the dirt, pour it on the blood. We have in our parsha, the mitzvah of Bikurim, the Torah says, take it in a basket. You're not taking it under your arm or over your shoulder, you're taking it in a respectful way in the basket. Shelo yiyu mitzvot bezuyot alecha, the halacha says. The mitzvah shouldn't be disgraced in your eyes. The mitzvah is the same gem whether you appreciate it or not. We once had a guy here who was dating a girl. His family was completely against his being Orthodox. And they notified him that they're totally embarrassed by the course he'd taken in his life. So he's dating the girl, and they're up to the 10th or the 15th date. And the girl calls me up and she says to me, my parents want a really fancy wedding. And this guy, his parents aren't going to pay a penny for the wedding. So I said to her, right? She said, well, my father's not going to let me marry someone whose parents aren't going to chip in and have a fancy wedding. So I said to her, I really appreciate your telling us that now and not waiting till you're held by engagement. I'll call him up and we'll break it up right now because the guy, he's a gem. Whether you have him or someone else has him, that doesn't take one iota from the guy. He's a pure gem. I'm telling you, he's a good catch. You go find someone else because if what your parents need is the money, so then you don't need him. There are plenty of other people out there with money. You want a gem? You want a fantastic guy? That's him. There are other girls that'll grab him. Let's close this now and go tell your father you're going to continue searching for a guy that has money. Because money he doesn't have. But I know who he is. And you go. Good luck. I wish you all the best. And they're married, yeah. She thought for a minute. But when you have a gem, it's a gem whether you appreciate it or not. That's what I was telling her. If you and your father can't see the value of this guy, so don't marry him. Go find someone you do appreciate. He has intrinsic value. You want him, take him. You don't appreciate him, go search for what you do appreciate. But that's not going to change his value. The Torah says, I'm precious. I have everything in the world to offer you. If you value me, you gain life. If you don't value me, I didn't lose anything, says the Torah, but you've lost. V'chot'i, he who sins against me, says the Torah, chomes nafsho, he's destroying his own soul. You're not hurting me, says the Torah. I'm the same value I was beforehand. But you, the question is, what do you have? And so that's the Torah's speech. Here we come to the conclusion of the Torah's speech. The Torah has taught us today that the Torah preceded creation, before all the mountains, before all the rivers, before the seas, while the water was still covering earth. Hashem created the Torah before everything else, and Hashem cherished the Torah, and Hashem enjoyed having the Torah as His Torah, so to speak, before Hashem gave it to us, which is its own concept that needs discussion. What does Hashem enjoy in the Torah? And what does it mean that Hashem had the Torah like a child that you raise? And what does it mean that it was Hashem's Torah and now it's our Torah? We know there are many midrashim about that, but that's a concept that needs to be developed. And so the Torah says, I was given as a gift. You want to access me? You have to first be a God-fearing person, then you could wisen up in the Torah. And he who sticks to me, Torah says it's not so simple. You got to stick to it. Shoked al dal tota yom yom. You have to be consistent. You have to learn day after day to be there and learn. So then you find life and the will of Hashem.